Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Well, this morning I feel led to put our preaching through the book of Philippians on hold for a sermon and on the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning. And to talk about that a little bit. I believe, you know, as a Pentecostal church that we should preach every now and then on the baptism of the Spirit, not just on Pentecost Sunday. But we also should have moments of that throughout the year. So I'm going to try doing that a little more often, talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. After all, it is what our whole denomination, or we didn't call ourselves a denomination when we first started. It was actually a movement. They'll say, hey, we don't want to be a denomination. We just want to be a movement for God, and that we would see mighty things take place. So today I'm going to do this and just share a little bit. And whether you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit or whether you're not, I hope you will glean something this morning. Because listen, it's when it comes to leading somebody in the baptism, we should know what we're talking about. We should know how to explain it. If they say, well, okay, I hear what you're saying, but where is that in the Bible? Where is that in Scripture? I believe if I'm going to say something, I need to be able to go to the Word of God and point out what it says and what it says about that particular thing. It's not just, hey, I'm filled with the Spirit. You need to be filled with the Spirit. Why are you filled with the Spirit? And what caused you to get filled with the Holy Spirit? So this is what we'll be speaking of this morning, just for a little while. You know, if you look in on our website, you'll find what we believe, which, by the way, is exactly what the West Texas District of Assembly of God and the General Council of the Assembly of God believes. And as an Assembly of God minister, I am in agreement with all three, is what we teach, what they teach, and what the General Council teaches when it comes to the 16 fundamentals of truth of our church. And if you haven't ever read those, I encourage you to go to the website, our website, and click on the little deal that says beliefs, and you'll see what our churches believe. Experience has taught me, however, that not everyone can or will accept the doctrine of the Assembly of God. Experience has taught me that over the years, especially when you add the next one to one of the things. Let me go back up. The thing is this, is that we believe the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a special experience following salvation that empowers believers for witnessing and effective service, just as it did in the New Testament. So that's what it speaks of. And not everybody's going to be in agreement with that, especially when you add the next fundamental of truth, when it says the initial physical evidence of baptism in the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues, as experienced on the day of Pentecost and referenced throughout Acts and the Epistles. Which we are saying that salvation is not the point of baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you look into Scripture, you'll find that at salvation you are baptized into the body of Christ. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Jesus is the one that baptizes the believer in the Holy Spirit. You'll find it in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, Mark chapter 1, verse 8, Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John chapter 1, verse 33. Now, I should have put them on the screen because I know I went through those real quick. But I'm just saying there's a lot of references. If you look in the Scripture, it says Jesus is the baptizer. He's the one that baptizes in the Holy Ghost, not the preacher, not the teacher, or anybody else. It's Jesus that baptizes a person in the Holy Spirit. And so that's something that we need to understand. Peter made a reference to this very fact when he came to the Gentiles at Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 11, verses 15 and 16. He says, "And I began to speak, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning." And then, listen to what he says in this verse, "And then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Talking about Christ in references back to all those verses I just gave you. John says, "Hey, I baptized you in water, but he that cometh after me," who's he? Jesus Christ. Talking about Jesus being the baptizer. I hear people, you know, I had someone tell me, well, thank you for imparting that to me. Listen, it's Jesus that imparts that to you. It's Jesus that fills you with the Holy Spirit. He may use me, but I'm not the baptizer. He is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He's the one that baptized you. You know, it's good to note that in Scripture we find that sometimes being filled, some are filled at the moment they are saved also. Are baptized when at the moment, but it's two different works, and it still happens today. This morning, I want to look at three stories in the book of Acts that support our doctrine in the AG. Just three stories. The first story I want to look at, we find it in Acts chapter 2. We all are familiar with this one. The apostles, 120 of them, are in the upper room. They have been praying there in obedience unto what Christ told them to do. Go to Jerusalem and tarry until you receive power from above. And so they're in that upper room praying. And we'll notice if you read Acts chapter 2, you'll find that story that they were in there and the Holy Spirit came upon them. Another story that we find is in Acts chapter 10. This is at Cornelius' house. God ordered a meeting between Cornelius and Peter. I mean, you know, God can put you in the right place at the right moment. He worked on Peter to get over there, and he worked on Cornelius, and they had a meeting because God wanted Cornelius to get a little further in his spiritual walk with God. But he also wanted to, I love this part because that is the Gentiles' house. And he wanted also to pour his spirit out upon the Gentiles. So that story in Acts chapter 10 is a powerful story. I'm giving you the stories of where these will all come together here in a minute. And then the third story is Paul is going to Ephesus and he bumps into 12 disciples of John. And they have a conversation about Christ. And they end up getting filled with the Holy Spirit, or baptized in the Holy Spirit. So three stories with common denominators among all three stories. How many believe the Bible says, and the Bible teaches this, that let things be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses? When you come to doctrine and in the Bible, you need to have two or three witnesses with that you're going to make doctrine out of. And the doctrine that we make, the reason I'm an Assembly of God is because I believe what is taught and the 16 fundamental truths of this. And I believe that it's not just, hey, we woke up one day and said, hey, we want to start a denomination or a movement of God, and we're going to speak in tongues. That's not what this was about. This is something that was read in the Word of God and actually confirmed by the Word of God, and therefore it is of the Word of God. So when we look at this, these three stories, all of these stories have some things in common that is worth looking at. And the first part of this is that all have been born again prior to being baptized in the Holy Spirit. In every story. I had a man wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit one day at Stinnett. And we prayed over him. And then the Lord spoke to me. He says, won't you ask him if he's saved? And guess what? I said, have you ever been saved? No, I've never been saved. And I said, well, we got to get the first thing first. And that is to get right with God. Have that born-again experience. The disciples, we find in John chapter 20, verse 22, the disciples, when they were born again, it speaks of this. And when he had said this, he came into a room where they were all hiding. He says, listen. And they were all scared. And Jesus appeared in the midst of them. And there the disciples were. Jesus had told them earlier, hey, the word hath cleansed you. They had faith in Christ. And now that he's went to the cross of Calvary, how many know the Spirit could not come upon us as it does today until he went to the cross and gave his life. And so he looks at them in this room and he says to him, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. This was that new birth, that new heart that would form them from that moment on. That was what we call being born again at that moment. Do you know when you get born again, the Spirit of God comes into you as a measure, and you now have new birth? This took place with the disciples, the Gentiles at Cornelius' house. Acts 10:43, to him all the prophets witnessed that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of their sins. Peter is preaching a message there at the house of Cornelius. Who is he preaching? He's preaching Jesus Christ. And as he's preaching, in that moment of the sermon, that they believe the message of Christ. Did you know we are saved when we have faith? Amen? By faith, we believe it. You know, we are saved by grace through faith. And while he's preaching, they are born again. Just like that. Now, that's one of those moments. They're born again. And if you're reading the scripture, we'll get into here in a little bit. Then something else happens, just right at the same time almost. And then we have the disciples of John at Ephesus. Acts chapter 19, verses 4 through 5. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, often we read that. Well, what's being said that? When they heard the message of Jesus Christ, they had faith. And when they had faith, they were baptized in water. I want to encourage you, if you have just been saved and you haven't been baptized yet, we need to baptize you in water eventually. They got baptized. Back then, it was really something that meant something. It says, I have decided to follow Jesus. By faith, I follow him, and I am being baptized in his name. Each one of these situations, whether it was the apostles or the disciples, or where it was Cornelius' house, or the people at Ephesus, all three have that similar situation that says, hey, you must be saved first. They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit yet. They weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. They had a relationship with God through faith because Jesus had paved that way with his precious blood. And now they are children of God. All three stories in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Romans 10:17 says this, then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So faith is what gets us saved. It's when we believed in Christ. And all three of these groups had heard the gospel of Christ. All three groups believed and were saved. Three different settings, but only one salvation through Jesus Christ. Three different things. That's why I don't think God always works the same way every time. But there are some things that are consistently true in that. And that what was consistently true in these three stories is that they were saved because of faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. Sometimes we feel like, oh, well, God moved this way, and he's always going to move this way. And, you know, a long time ago, I remember back at Roaring Springs, I hadn't been saved a very long time, but it was back in the day that you actually took dress codes to clothes to the service. And so I brought me a pair of different pants, dress pants. Boy, I was looking sharp. I had all these different colored pants and all that, but we were at church or a service either Wednesday night or Thursday night. I can't remember which one it was, but I just started singing, oh, I love you, Lord. It was quiet, no music at the altar, and God just started moving in that place, not because of me, but literally I could just barely go like that and someone would fall down, and I thought, okay, from now on, when I sing, I love you, Lord, people are going to be scattered. Can I tell you, it hadn't happened since. We often think God works in a certain way. Well, we have to be in the upper room. I've been in the upper room, supposedly called the upper room. Listen, there's nobody in there seeking the baptism. But it was, I thought, well, this is cool to be here. And then they told me, well, we think this is it. But I'm just saying, you don't have to be in that same setting. The thing that is calming throughout is the fact that they had faith in Jesus Christ. And when you have faith in Jesus Christ, then that new birth comes in, and then you now are ready. See, new birth or salvation doesn't take long. You know, some women labor for hours. I remember my mother used to tell me how long she was in labor with me, and I'm pretty sure she started at like 20, and then as the story went on and later on in life, it was like 40 hours. I think she was trying to stress a point to me. But, you know, some labor for hours, and finally the birth comes, and others go in, and an hour later, they have a baby. But guess what? Whether you labor for hours and hours or whether you labor for an hour, the thing is, birth takes place when that kid is born. And it's the same thing when salvation comes. Salvation, some people take a little more work for them to get saved, a little more plowing, a little more praying, a little more fasting for them. But the moment that they get, and others hear the gospel once, get saved, stay saved. But the moment of what I'm trying to stress is this, is that at the moment of birth is really just like that quick. You didn't start to get saved down there. When you had faith, God sanctified you, set you aside, set you apart for His work, and then the work began in your life. Whether you're one that, hey, I've heard people say, well, Holy Ghost chased me for years and finally got me. Or I finally found Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus found you. Amen? And at the moment He finds you and you say, I believe by faith, birth takes place that quick, that instant. And so what I'm trying to stress, whether it's a journey like the apostles had or the disciples in Ephesus or maybe at Cornelius' house, they heard the word, birth took place quickly. We all like formulas, and sometimes our formulas don't line up with what God does. New life is it. And once new life takes place in a person, then we talk about the next thing. I want to talk about something else with these three groups. It says all were baptized in the Holy Spirit. All of them. All of them were baptized in the Holy Spirit. The disciples, the Gentiles, and the disciples of John. The disciples tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Now listen to these verses very carefully. And they were all. It didn't say 60. It doesn't say half of them. It doesn't say, hey, just the majority of them was filled. And the other ones, they started another denomination. It says all filled. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Where's that at? That's in the upper room. There was 120 of them in that upper room. And when the Holy Ghost came down upon them, they were saved. Now the Holy Spirit's coming as they were tarrying and praying. And the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, which is the same term as being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then the Gentiles at Cornelius' house, Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these very words, man, I'd love to have service like that. While you're preaching and all of a sudden people just start getting filled with the Holy Ghost, run into the altar. Let's try that next Sunday, all right? But while he's preaching, the Bible says this. While he was preaching these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all. Listen to that word again. All those who heard the word. All of them. All of them. Everybody in Cornelius' house that heard the sermon of Jesus, the Spirit of God fell upon them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. The disciples of John, let's look at that one, at Ephesus, Acts 19, verse 6. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Who? All of them again. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. What I'm trying to stress here is the fact that every story, Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19, that the Holy Spirit fell on all of them. Every one of them. Not just part of them, but all of them. See, there are those that teach that the baptism is not for all believers, and others that teach it does not happen anymore. Some have sought and have not been filled and therefore adapt to the teachings that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for everybody. Some of these teachings, if stem from biased teachings that started back in the early 1900s, if you really study and you want to understand why some of the biased teachings against the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the evidence that we'll talk about here in a minute, the reason some of those things were out there is because in the early 1900s, God was pouring His Spirit out upon the church and people were leaving mainline denominations, flocking into the Pentecostal churches because they knew God was doing some amazing things. And therefore, there was biased teachings that started, and they're still there today. And I understand it. Many mainline denominations were losing peoples by the groves, and therefore, they had to do something. Peter himself said, when explaining to the mockers what had just happened in the upper room, Peter said this in Acts 2, verse 16 and 18, "But this is what was spoken by the prophet, and it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Well, there's that word again, all flesh. That word, all. Can I tell you this morning, all flesh is in reference to those who have believed in Christ. Titus said this in chapter 3, verse 6, "Whom He poured out on all of us," talking about the Spirit, "abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." Poured it out on all of us. Have you been saved? Then you are a candidate to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you've been saved. It's not about the place. It's not about the upper room. Man, we had some worship in there. We had a time of that. And yeah, I did. I spoke in tongues in the upper room just to say I'd done it. But the presence of God was strong at that moment. It's not about the place. We have someone that was baptized and some of them were filled at Cornelius' house. It's not the church. Others were out on the roadway that got filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying today, it's not necessarily about a particular place that you have to be in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You talk to folks, some have been filled in their car while just praising God. Some have been filled in their house, in different places. I'm saying God does not necessarily say if you're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit at St. Jacinto Assembly of God, it has to be in between 10:30 and 12. And I met a preacher one time. He said, "Well, God won't fill you unless there's a witness around." I disagree with you. And I told him, I disagree. It's not about you. It's about what happened between you and God. I'm saying sometimes there's some people don't feel comfortable coming down front and letting someone pray for them and tell them to stand up, sit down, speak loud and all that. And they just get in their quiet place in their home and they start praising God and surrendering worship unto Him. And all of a sudden they find themselves being filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't let it be about a certain place, because it's wherever you meet God and surrender and worship unto Him that you will have that experience that God wants you to have. If you overthink it, you'll never get filled. Doesn't make sense to me. I've got to think about how does that work? And then if you get fearful thinking, well, if I get filled, God's going to make me run around the church 8 times. There's all these avenues, and when we got things going on in our head, and we're if you're that type of person who's got to think everything out, then you're going to have a difficult time being filled with the Holy Spirit, because literally it just takes that moment of surrendering to God in worship and let the Holy Spirit come in. If you believe in the biased teaching against the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you won't be filled either. But can I tell you, this does not nullify the fact that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for all believers. Because why? We have 3 stories. And we have Peter confirming the fact in Acts chapter 2 that God will pour His Spirit out upon all. So just because I'm not filled does not mean God's not true, right? We all have that possibility. So you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit by surrendering in an atmosphere of worship unto Christ Jesus. I've literally had people come down, want to be filled. They're not even praising the Lord. They're not even worshiping God. Now, I could be one of those preachers that tell you to go, or whatever, and then you're filled. I don't believe in that. The Bible says He gives you the utterance. And there's a lot of people out there teaching, just open up and start making all kinds of noise. Let me tell you, that's not of the Holy Ghost. And what I find out, you don't get filled with the Holy Spirit unless you're worshiping Jesus. You gotta forget what you're asking for, and you just start praising God, and you start letting the worship come. It's in that atmosphere. It's not a begging situation. It's just surrendering to Jesus in worship and praise unto Him. The third thing about these three common things in these stories is all spoke in tongues. The disciples, we find in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. I'm going to tell you, as the Spirit gave them utterance, this just happened to be one of those moments that there were so many nationalities around that many understood the language, but those that were speaking the tongue had no idea what they were saying. No idea. They all spoke in tongues. Who? The upper room. How about the Gentiles at Cornelius' house? Acts 10, 44 and 46. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking with tongues and magnified God. Then Peter answered. This is talking about when Peter's before all the Jewish church there. Then we find in the disciples of John in Acts 19:6, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. They spoke in tongues as they were baptized in the Spirit. And up on the case with the Gentiles, Peter literally said, we know that they had the same gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because we heard them speaking in tongues. The evidence that Peter used that they got the same thing that the Jewish church got in the upper room was that they spoke in tongues. He said it very clearly to all those that were curious about what was taking place. Yet all three of these stories point to the same evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that is that initial evidence that they were speaking in tongues when they were filled. You know, it would be good to note that in none of these stories were they seeking to speak in tongues. That'd be a good thing to note. But Jesus was at the center of all three stories. He is the one you seek and surrender and worship, and you do this. As you do this, you'll feel the presence of the Holy Spirit increasing. I know that some of you know exactly what I'm talking about this morning as the Holy Spirit starts to come on you and you feel this. Some people try to describe it. I used to have a man that he'd always come in. I don't know, Pastor, I was down at the altar and I just felt like a burning on my hands and all that. What should I do? I said, do something. Why don't you do something with it? Maybe look for somebody, just lay your hands on them. Pray with it. And the whole idea is this, that it's not the tongues. It's not about seeking tongues. If we seek the tongues, then we will not be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not about tongues. It's not you coming down here and I'm saying, okay, you need to do this. And I watch people, they try to coach somebody. That's not what it's about, my friend. It's about getting into the worship unto God. Tongues is not what, the tongues are just the initial evidence that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we make it all about the tongues instead of what Jesus is trying to do in their life. It's not about tongues. Paul says, I speak in tongues more than any of you. Did you know you don't find exactly where Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit? But isn't it interesting that Paul says, I speak in tongues? I'm pretty sure that after Ananias went to pray for him, he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and the author of that particular passage of Scripture just did not put that in there. But we know that Paul speaks in tongues. Paul said, I'd rather speak five words in English if it was going to hinder anybody in the church. That's Snyder interpretation. I'm just saying today, it's not about tongues. Smith Wigglesworth, he heard, and I know I've told you this, he heard that the Holy Spirit was being poured out, and Smith Wigglesworth would tell you before that moment that he was being filled with the Holy Spirit already at salvation, and his wife felt the same way, and he went to a meeting, and he said, I'm going to give them 3 days to get this tongue business. It's not tongue business. And on that third day, he's getting ready to leave, and some dear sister of the church says, Smith, if you'll start seeking Jesus and not tongues, he'll baptize you. And it wasn't just like that God filled him up with the Holy Spirit, and he spoke in tongues, went back and told his wife, and they said Smith Wigglesworth could not preach a lick. And he said, well, and she says she didn't believe him. He said, well, you get up and preach. And he preached Isaiah 61, and she says, that's not my Smith preaching today. Because the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him. But he was seeking tongues, and when he started seeking Christ, he was filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It's never been about that. It's always been about Christ. You know, some describe that moment as they're in the presence, the Holy Spirit's increasing as a burning. You know, isn't it interesting that John says he's going to baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire? If you're in that moment, just keep on seeking when you experience this and allow the Spirit to give you the utterance that comes from within. Don't try to overthink it. Just let it come out. It's really not that complicated. I like Doyle Jones. He doesn't complicate it. Just come down and get filled. But I believe every person, if you want them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to tell them how and why. Not just because that's who we are. Listen, there are those that are against speaking in tongues, and some have even claimed it as wildfire from the devil. That's very dangerous grounds, my friend. Yet why would God give the witness of speaking in tongues in three clear stories in the book of Acts? I know I could take you to the revival with Philip in Samaria. And Simon sees something taking place that when they would lay hands on the people, that he sees something taking place when he would do that, that he says, give me the power to give that gift. Not one time does it talk about tongues in that story, but something was taking place that Simon seen. But in these stories, there's no guessing about these three stories, Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19, that the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit was speaking in tongues. Very clear. Why would God give us that three stories and then say, hey, that's only for this certain time? Can I tell you a little information? When they got baptized in the Holy Spirit in Ephesus, that was 25 years later after the upper room. Where in the Bible does it say, in 25 years, we're done with this business? You can't find it. It's not in there. That's just man's doctrines. Those that speak against speaking in tongues need a spiritual breakthrough in this matter. That's been a great time to amen, you Pentecostal folks. Max Lucado. How many of y'all know who he is? Best-selling author and pastor, began speaking in tongues when he was 64 years old. He said it happened after reading a passage in the Bible where Paul encourages people to eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. How did it happen? Lucado prayed every morning for a few weeks after reading the passage. One morning he began praying in a heavenly language. After 64 years, he had previously been taught that those languages were no longer used. What a great story, amen? That tells me it doesn't matter about your age. God can fill you up in any moment. According to what we read in the Bible, speaking in your tongues is real and the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So why am I, Pastor Olive, if you'll come, why am I preaching about the baptism in the Spirit this morning? First of all, I felt like this is what God wanted me to preach. Second, we are living in a country that needs Jesus. I know we all feel relaxed now. Used to, in the other administration, I got up every morning. I would say, God, may you arise, your enemies be scattered, and Lord, may you unveil all the stuff going on in the White House. And I still get up in the morning, but I don't have that same fervency that I had about it. But I'll tell you, there's still a lot of things that need to be unveiled. But this church is not a time for us to get relaxed. It's not a time for us to say, hey, we've got this thing. We got 4 years. My wife, she's not in here. Okay, my wife is one of those people that can let the air out of the balloon. I'm a very positive person, and sometimes my wife can be negative. She keeps me very balanced. And sometimes I irritate her with all my positive. But I'm going to tell you, she said something that rubbed me wrong the other day. She said, well, it'll just change in 4 years. And I said, but honestly, come on, we can change a lot in 4, and it can all get changed back in another 4. I don't like that type of talking. I'm a positive person. But sometimes sometimes she speaks a reality that I don't like. I love her. But I'm just saying today is this very thing. We cannot let up, my friend. We have a window of opportunity. We have a window of opportunity, and I get it. We need a better economy. We need a lot of things, but we also need a nation to turn back to Jesus. Come on. Amen. We need a nation. And so we're living in that country that needs it. And according to the Bible, the gospel needs to be preached in order for them to receive Christ. You don't get people saved just because they come to church. They have to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that all three of these groups heard, and they surrendered their life and their heart to Jesus. They got saved. Listen, although tongues are the initial evidence of being baptized in the Spirit, becoming a witness is the most important part. You can speak in tongues and you can get on the church board. But becoming a witness is the most important part. And if we're living in a country that is so far from God, that needs revival, my friend, we need a witness for Jesus, and we need the power that comes from above. And Jesus says that power comes. He says, I'll go to Jerusalem till you're endued with power from above. And he went to Cornelius' house, and he said, hey, let me send Peter over there. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. What for? For a witness. And as he preached, the Holy Ghost came down upon them, and they were all saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul met somebody 25 years later, 12 disciples that were lost on their journey. And Paul says, let me tell you about Jesus. Are you getting the idea that the baptism is more than just being a member of the AG church or any Pentecostal church? It's about becoming a witness to a lost world. A witness to the lost world. A witness to your family. A witness to your workplace. This movement that we have that we call the Assembly of God, it didn't start out because we spoke in tongues. It's because we became a witness. And we planted churches, I say we, as a group of people across America. Every little town that we could put a church in, now we're closing more of them than we can open up. And that's sad because we're living in a time that we need a witness. And we need Jesus Christ. We need a powerful witness in the country that not only lives for Christ, because see, when you're filled, you should have a better witness for him, but also one that preaches Jesus Christ. Ministry without a message is not nothing more than ministry. See, if you haven't never been filled with or baptized in the Spirit, you need to be. You need to be. Every single person in the church needs to be. Second, it's time that the Pentecost church be reminded of why we are called Pentecostal. It's not because we raise our hands in worship. It's not because we clap our hands. Or it's not because we shout amen. I've had people come up to me, well, our church is Pentecostal because we're raising our hands. Sometimes I have to watch what I say. I'm going to tell you what's happened in the Pentecostal church today is that we've replaced Pentecost for charismatic. We think that we're really doing church and all that much more if we have a really great worship service and people are excited. Listen, that's not what Pentecost is. Do Pentecostal people get excited? Yes, but the fact is Pentecost people have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, and the number one thing in their life is to share Jesus Christ with somebody. Any church can get excited and get a lot of charismatic things going on, and they can have the best praise, best worship, but all we share in Jesus. It's time that we get back to Pentecost. Get filled with the Holy Spirit, endued with power from above, that it's just going to drive me crazy to sit around and watch people go to hell. Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, they sent him to Athens to chill for a moment. Because see, Paul had stirred up every town he went to. And they get Paul, go over to Athens, be good. Paul, being filled with the Holy Spirit, looked at this altar, that altar, that altar, and he says, I've got to say something. You couldn't keep a Pentecostal man from sharing Jesus. Next thing you know, he's in the middle of a huge audience. Let me tell you about the unknown God, because I know you don't know him. If we want to see our country changed again, we need to start sharing the message of Jesus. I know we are living in challenging times, people. I hear it from other pastors. Churches are closing or on the verge of closing. But can I tell you, we do not have to accept that. That does not have to be the status quo for the church of Jesus Christ. He's given us power from above, that we can see amazing things take place because of him. We're not without hope, my friend. We just need to tap into what God's gave us. Get back to being filled. Our country needs Jesus. Our churches, listen, need the Holy Ghost. And we need a Holy Ghost revival. We now, like never before, need an Acts 4 experience. You may say, what's an Acts 4 experience? They got told not to preach in Jesus' name. They said, you just get over here and you be quiet, have your little services, but don't bother this culture that is so anti-Jesus. Those disciples got together and they had a little meeting and they said, hey, you've heard Jesus. They tell us not to do this, not to mention your name. And they started to pray, but give us the power, they said, to extend your hand in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 that there the Holy Ghost met them in that place and it literally shook the building. And they went out with boldness to preach the God of heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ, and lives were changed once again. Who were they? These people, this weren't the first time they got filled. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. These were those that had been filled before and needed a new feeling, a refilling of the Holy Spirit. So I ask you this morning, do you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? And do you need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit? See, because I can do all the qualifications. I couldn't be an Assembly of God preacher unless I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, speak with tongues, and continue to believe that's a doctrine. You know, I don't speak in tongues ever again. It's a little hard for me not to do that, though. I believe it. And you might have been filled with the Holy Ghost, but I'm asking you, when's the last time that that heavenly language came out as you surrendered to Jesus and that worship went up to God? Folks, it ought to be every day. And I get life happens, things happen, we chill in our relationship, but it ought to be something that happens every day in our lives.